This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut. I am Pedlin Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is March 1st, 2017. I'd like to welcome you to Bicycle Talk this week without my co-host, Fran Storch. She is traveling back from Florida, where she is visiting her mother, which is very, very nice. But and she will be using an airplane for that. She's not riding her bike back. But anyway, this is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, then you can either call us or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can also visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. Yeah, I'm there too. So any way you want to get a hold of me, that would be great. If you have any kind of comments or suggestions, or if you want to be a guest on the show, we'd be very happy to have you here and talk about bikes, because that's what we love. We love bikes. So that's what this is all about. I am going to start off the show this week with a rant, as we always have the rant of the week. The rant is going to sort of turn into the show, because it's kind of an important piece right here. The automobile industry is on my rant list this week. There is a commercial out on the television that is promoting a safety device, and there's a lot of promotion of safety devices now on automobiles, and they are basically promoting safety devices to keep you from having an accident when you're distracted. So they show, and this is a great one, they show a large truck-like vehicle, I'll call it that, you know, because SUVs are trucks, and, you know, I rant about that all the time. And they show a pedestrian walking into a crosswalk, and as that pedestrian is walking into a crosswalk, the safety device in the vehicle slams on the brakes and narrowly avoids hitting the pedestrian. This is where we've gone to, folks. This is what it's all about. I have a better idea. Now, you know, you can take this however you wish, but how about paying attention when you're driving your motorized vehicle? That would be my rant of the week. Pay attention. And the reason why I am jumping all over this is because we have had some incredibly nice weather here. And that incredibly nice weather has brought everyone out of the woodwork on their bicycles. So if you hadn't noticed this past weekend, it's February. Well, actually, it's March 1st here right now. But it's that time of year when you do not expect to see 60-degree weather in Connecticut. So, again, you do not expect to see people out riding their bicycles in Connecticut this time of year. So, cars and trucks, people who drive cars and trucks, please, you know, just kind of get a, you know, pay attention. We're out there. We are anxious to get out there. We love to ride our bikes. You have to understand this. We really, really love to ride our bikes. This also makes it far more conducive for us to commute on our bicycles. So, if we have a short commute to work and we want to get there by way of a non-motorized vehicle that consumes no fossil fuels, then we will probably ride our bikes to work. So you're going to see us at various times of the day, could even be during a busy morning commute or a busy evening commute. So we're out there. Please pay attention. Please don't rely on the safety device in your vehicle to stop you and keep you from running over someone on the road. The, you know, it's just, to me, it's like, yeah, this is solving the problem, okay, to an extent, but it's really just putting a Band-Aid on the real problem, and the real problem is the distraction that is built into our cars and trucks, and also built into our communication devices, yes, cell phones. We are so easily pulled away to a video screen by our devices when we're driving a car. And really what you're supposed to be doing when you're driving the car is driving the car. So let's take a good look at this. Let's just think twice. When you get in the car the next time, you're sitting in your car or you're sitting in your SUV type or truck type vehicle, where you feel like you're like incredibly well protected and really safe, remember there are others that are out there that are on the roads that are not incredibly well protected or safe. We don't have 4,000 pounds of metal wrapped around us to keep us from being harmed. We're simply a person on a bicycle. So please, please, please pay attention. And that's so this rant is we're going to move forward on this just a little bit. Again, emphasizing, please share the road. Really, really important. And I want to just compare a few statistics here that I looked up. And I didn't get everything exactly to date because it seems that the data goes up through 2014, 2015 right now. So they have not yet, or I can't seem to find, and if anybody can, please post it on my Facebook page or send me an email. But I can't seem to find anything for 2016 at this time. And maybe they had the numbers haven't been compiled yet or not. But just to give you an idea, going to different traffic safety websites, I looked and I found that in 2015, preliminary data showed that 22,368 people who were on foot were killed in traffic crashes between January and June of 2015. So that is half of the year. Okay, half of the year, 2,300 people, just to get you an idea. And that was up from the 2,232 from the year before. So in that same full year, 817 cyclists were killed. So we're talking of a possibility of, let's say, 5,000, you know, almost 6,000 people that were killed by, obviously, people driving cars and trucks in the year 2015. All right. Now, I'm going to throw some stats out here at you. Since, well, let's start with 9/11. 9/11, terrorist attacks on Americans worldwide, included here in the U.S., 2,910. All right, that's 9/11. Since 9/11, terrorist attacks on Americans, since 9/11, up through 2014, 158. So, you know, these are interesting statistics. You know, I just get to the point where I need to put some reality check in here. All right. And if we can take the statistics of 9/11 on through now, we are way below the numbers of people that were killed as pedestrians or on bicycles during the same period of during 1 year, just 1 year. That's it. So let's think about this. Where is the real terrorist attack here? The real terrorist attack is driving that vehicle. Okay, you as a driver of a vehicle who are being extremely irresponsible, you are the ones that are the terrorists to us, the cyclists, and us, the pedestrians on the road. So let's think about this a little bit. We have all this fear. We're putting billions and trillions of dollars into protecting ourselves from the quote-unquote terrorists who are out there killing us, and they're not. They're not killing us. You are. People who are driving cars and trucks are doing it. So let's reflect on that just for a minute here and think about what we can do to be a little more careful when we're driving our cars and our trucks. You know, the statistics are staggering. It's, you know, we're unprotected. We're out there. We are terrorized by your vehicles. And I wanted to put a spin on it just to try to get people to see it from a different angle. We're so afraid in this country because we have been drilled with this fear of you know, being tormented by others from other countries or other religious sects or whatever it may be, that we are not focusing on the real problem. And the real problem is that more of us are being hurt, injured, killed here in the U.S. by ourselves in cars and trucks. And I'm not even giving you the statistics of people who are actually in motorized vehicles who are also getting hurt or dying in their motorized vehicles. The numbers, again, are staggering. I do not have them in front of me. But this is something we have to start taking a look at, because this is serious business. It's very serious business. And we are not spending millions and billions of dollars on rebuilding our infrastructure here in the U.S. to make it safer than it is right now. Actually, we are starting to show a lot more safety features going in. There are more projects going on. There are definitely more rails trails projects going on. Things are definitely moving in that direction. But we're it's like a splash in the bucket. It's more like a splash in the ocean as to the number of dollars that we're spending on putting safer places for people to ride their bicycles and to walk than we are in protecting ourselves from the unknown terrorists that are out there. So, yeah, I'm a little political today. But at the same point, I'm trying to make a point, and I'm trying to let you understand that this is reality. We are not paying attention. We are now designing cars that will pay attention for us. We are eventually designing cars that we can no longer drive so that they will pay attention for us, because we are so distracted by everything that's going on around us while being in a car that we're not seeing things that are obvious. And, you know, I think about this, and when my dad first taught me how to drive a car, it was a very long time ago. And, you know, we had this thing in the middle of my dashboard in my car, and it was called a radio. And my dad would, the second I would take my eyes off the road to go over and adjust the radio, my dad would yell at me. And he'd say, "What are you doing?" And I'd say, "I was going to change the station on the radio." And he goes, "No." He said, "Don't do that." He said, "When you come to a stop," he goes, "you can do that." But he said, "Not now." And I was thinking, well, geez, you know, great father-son thing. You know, teenage son, father trying to teach him how to drive. Teenage son thinks dad's a dope because, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to change the radio. It's no big deal, right? Well, it is a big deal. He was right. And, you know, of course, as we get older, we start to understand that our parents were way, way smarter than we ever gave them credit for. And, you know, dad was good about that. He was someone who, he didn't have accidents. He was a very safe driver before he owned his own business as a garage mechanic, owning his own service station. He was a truck driver, so he spent a lot of time on the road driving big trucks and watching out for people who are not so safe on the road. So anyway, safety was kind of a big deal for him. And so what do we do with this? I mean, this is a problem. 7.7% increase over 2014 as far as the to 2015 on the worst death toll since 2008. This is a big deal. We got to start paying attention. I'm not trying to scare you off of your bike. I'm trying to scare you out of your car, okay? I'm trying to get you to understand that there are human lives out there, and these human lives are pedaling bicycles. These human lives that I ride my bike with, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're nurses, they're school teachers, they're people like you and I. They're normal, everyday people. They're people that are important to their communities. They're important to our lives in general. And you know, you got to pay attention. Just pay attention. Why am I ranting on this so much? Because I've been driving around the last few weeks because I am a sales rep on the road and this is what I do. And I'm watching the poor driving behavior of people when they're driving their cars and trucks and not giving cyclists and runners and walkers enough pedestrians room when they're out doing that. I mean, you got to give them a little more room. Slow down, folks. Slow down. You know, the world won't end if you don't get there 2 seconds earlier. You know, unless you're a very, very important person. But anyway, I don't think any of us are really that important, so I don't think we really need to worry about that. So if you're out riding a bike, how do you not get hit by cars? This is an important lesson in bicycle safety. This comes off of a website, bicyclesafe.com, And it shows you the real ways you can get hit and the real ways you can avoid things. There's, it's a great website. It shows you different collision situations. Many of these are at intersections, by the way. Why are they at intersections? Because cars and trucks are looking for cars and trucks at intersections. They're not looking for bicycles. So those of you who feel that it's really important for you to ride as far to the right as possible when you're approaching an intersection, okay, I gotta reset you here. I gotta reset your thought pattern. Your thought pattern is you want to be seen. In order to be seen, you should be in the middle of the road. I'm not saying over the center line. I am saying out to the center line. That's how you avoid a collision. You also are, it helps to have a headlight on your car, on your bicycle. There's a number of really cool headlights out there. They're rechargeable. They'll last a very long time. They also make them now that they're these flashing beacons that you can put on your bike, and they're very prominent. You definitely can see them. You can see them from a quarter mile away. On the front, you put a white one or a white flashing light on the front, and on the back, you put a red one. And these, like I said, can be seen a quarter mile away, and they're a little annoying and distracting, but hey, you know what? You can see me now, can't you? You know, you think about driving a motorized vehicle and having the headlights on in your car versus driving a motorized vehicle and not having the headlights on in your car. It is so much easier for you as a driver of a car or truck to see the other one when the lights are on the vehicle. There are stats that prove how much safer it is. A lot of the cars are designed. I know mine is designed, so I turn the key on, my lights are on. So it's, you know, the lights are always on as long as I'm driving, which is kind of a cool thing. It makes a lot of sense. So most of us who ride bicycles during the day do not have these on our bikes, or we don't even think of putting a light of any kind on our bike. But it's a thought. They're very small. They're not heavy. They're not going to weigh down your bicycle, and they work. They work because they can be seen from a long distance away. So maybe it's time to take a little trip down to your local bike shop and see what they have. They probably have a variety of these things available for you. I know most of the stores that I visit will have at least 5 or 6 different types of lights that you can put on your bicycle that are used for identification when you're going down the road. And some of them, and the technology right now has gotten to the point where it's so good that you can really be seen from a long distance. So that's one way of doing it. Putting on bright clothing, that's a great idea. Be seen. Be definitely seen. You know, this site says that you should make eye contact with the driver of the car. I've talked about this a lot, about making eye contact with the driver of the car. I also like to point to them. I like to wave to them. I like to gesture to them. And no, I don't gesture to them with my middle finger. That's a bad thing to do. That's a great way to get yourself in a big argument and possibly get hurt. So please don't do that. But I wave to them in a very friendly fashion so that, and if you can't make that eye contact with the driver, wave your arm. It's easier for them to see you when your arm is going to the left and right than it is for you for them to see you looking at them. Not to mention that a large number of us ride with eye protection, and by wearing that eye protection, you cannot see our eyes. So that makes it a little bit funny too. So a little wave to them, a little indication that, hey, I'm here, that really works. It certainly helps a lot. If you can't make eye contact with the driver, especially at night, slow down so that you're able to completely stop if you have to. Yeah, it's inconvenient, but it beats getting hit. Doing this has saved many people's lives on many occasions, I'm sure. Ride further to the left. And, I can't say enough about this. And every time I have an encounter with the driver of a car or a truck where they feel like they need to inform me of the traffic laws and inform me that I am wrong and don't belong there, and it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen occasionally, they're always pushing the idea that I should be as far to the right as I possibly can be, and I really shouldn't be on the road in the first place. Well, they're wrong, first of all. So if you feel that way, then please, you know, change your change your tune there. If you're listening to the show and you're a cyclist and I'm preaching to the choir, tell your family members, tell your, you know, tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Say, hey, you know, I was listening to this guy on the radio, and he said that you should, you know, do this, you should do that. And it's just common sense is all it is. Very, very common sense. Very much common sense. When you get into a city situation where you're riding along and there are parallel parked cars alongside of the road, we have this situation right up here in Storrs because the state highway that goes through the center of campus was designed when they rebuilt everything right here in Storrs Center and put in all the buildings. They included parallel parking. It is one of my major pet peeves. It's like, couldn't you have just put in a bike lane instead of parallel parking? But parallel parking, cars rule, trucks rule. That's the way they did it. So what do you do when you're a cyclist and you're coming through on parallel parking? First thing and foremost is to realize that the width of a door, when someone opens up a door, that width of that door is going to be at least 3 feet. And I would give it 4 feet just in case, because you just never know. It gives you that little bit of extra space, room for error. You should be that much further out in the road in a parallel parked situation, because you really don't have time to swing out if someone opens their door. I've ranted about this before. We talk about it a lot here. I'm going to repeat myself a number of times on this until we pound it through people's heads. But it's really important that you make sure that you ride to the left, not to the right. Get out in the road. Get out on the road. Let them know you're there. They'll know you're there if you're out in the road. Plus, if they need to pass you, they're going to wait until it is clear enough for them to pass you. And remember, drivers of cars and trucks, if you're listening to this, it is in the state of Connecticut, where we live, it is legal for you to cross the yellow line if you are passing a cyclist on the road. So if you need to give that cyclist the 3 feet, which is legally responsible, and also it is the correct way to do it, you can avoid getting a $100 fine, you are allowed to cross that yellow line in order to do it. Of course, I recommend that there's no one coming the other way. I would assume that you'd be paying enough attention to know that there's no one coming the other way, but this is a very, very important thing. Crosswalks kind of came to me because someone was telling me about how, you know, they get into a city situation and they want to get across the street, and so they'll ride their bike up onto the sidewalk. Another very bad idea, by the way. And then they'll ride across the crosswalk because, you know, people have to stop on the crosswalk. Well, let's review that. Let's review the law. Let's review the situation. So I think I'm protected in the crosswalk because I am now in a quote-unquote safe zone. If I was a pedestrian and I were in that crosswalk, I technically should be safe, but only about 60% of the people who drive cars and trucks actually stop for crosswalks when there is a pedestrian in the crosswalk. That's another staggering statistic. So almost half of the people that approach a crosswalk when you're stepping into it, and we all know about this on UConn campus because we have a lot of pedestrians here, almost half of the people that see you in the crosswalk will not stop. So assume this, please. Please assume that they're not looking at you. I always identify them. I look straight at them. If they don't see me, I start waving my hands. This is just when I'm a pedestrian crossing. Now, what's right with the bike? Well, first of all, if you stick your front wheel of the bike in the crosswalk, that does not tell anyone that it is legal or safe for you to cross at the crosswalk. If you dismount your bicycle and become a pedestrian, now you have a legal right to cross the crosswalk. So those are things that people have a misconception of, and there are things that you need to pay attention of. Just you know the laws, know what's going on. Learn the laws. Learn the laws, because if you should have a confrontation with the driver of a car or a truck, you're going to need to, you know, explain your end of the argument. And you may have, you know, you may have a very legitimate argument here. And I have found that probably of the people that I have had encounters with, I'm gonna be right out there with it. I would say that 100% of them do not know bicycle law. So take the time to understand bicycle law and learn it and be well-versed when you're in a situation so that you can then educate the person who is driving the car or the truck. I've had so many discussions with people who are drivers of cars and trucks, even not when I'm on my bike, but when I'm just in a social situation, or I just may encounter people and they think, oh, you're the bike guy. You know, I see you guys on the road. You do this, you do that. And then I'll say, well, hold on just a second. Do you have a second so we can talk about this? And I say, can I explain bicycle law to you? Can I explain what the laws are? Can I explain, a few things that will hopefully educate both you and I, and always put it to yourself. Always include yourself in the education when you're making this explanation, and then explain to them why their perception of something, which is probably wrong, is wrong. And just work with them. Work with them. And I had this great conversation with a young man at an auto parts store. He'd been driving cars and trucks for, 15, 16 years since he had gotten his license. He just ranted all over me about, you people on your bikes out in the road, because he found out that I was a cyclist. And, he shouldn't have done that. And, but he did. So it gave me an opportunity to start a discussion. So I started the discussion. I said, do you have a minute so I can talk to you about, bicycle law? Do this. Come at it not in a defensive way, but in an educational way. Because this is how we get our respect on the road. You don't get it until you give it, and you have to be calm about it. You got to be very calm, and you got to be very reassuring to them that you do know what you're talking about. But make sure you know what you're talking about when you do this. So, don't ride on the wrong side of the road. That's crazy. I have so many people who, especially children, who are riding against traffic on the road, and if I am able to stop and talk to them about it, I say, hey, look, you're supposed to be on the other side of the road. And their first answer is that their mom or their dad said no, that they have to ride facing traffic, that it's not safe for them to be riding with traffic. Well, mom and dad, sorry, got to go back to driver's ed class. You're wrong. And a bicycle is a vehicle, and it is not safer to ride against traffic. It is far more dangerous, especially when you get to an intersection, because cars and trucks are not expecting to see you there, so especially on the wrong side of the road. So these are things that you have to work on. It's an education process, and it'll help enlighten you. There's another one here, collision type number 5 on this website. Very funny. And again, this website I'm looking at is bicyclesafe.com. So feel free to take a look at this and see what's going on. And this one is the red light of death. I love this one. This is great. So you're in a city traffic situation. You come to a traffic light, and and you stop at the right of a car that's already waiting at the red light or stop sign. They can't see you. I would say, why did you do that? Why did you pull up alongside of them? Don't pull up alongside them. Pull in behind them. All right. If you pull in behind them, you are now traffic. You are now in the traffic flow. They understand that. When you're sitting to their right, and even if they do see that you're there, they still have not recognized you as a viable vehicle. You're just that bicycle that's in their way. So don't put yourself in a blind spot. Don't put yourself in harm's way. And that is harm's way. Why is it harm's way? Because when that traffic light turns green, they may make a right-hand turn into you. So all of a sudden, now you're trapped, and you're putting yourself in a potentially dangerous position and situation, and you're going to get hit. You're going to get run over because they're going to make the turn just like they normally would. You're going to run out of space into the corner. It's going to close you out. You're going to have nowhere to go except up on the curb if there is one, or into the woods if that's what's there. So just do the right thing. Become traffic. Get behind the car, not to the right of the car. And, you know, it's a very, very simple thing, very easy practice. If for some reason you find yourself over there and you've worked your way up and now you're side by side with this vehicle, communicate with them. Tell them where you're going to go. I find that one of the best ways of doing that is to kind of creep yourself in front of them at the traffic light. Just get in front of them and then point to where you're going, which in this case with this situation would be, I would be pointing straight ahead and I'd look back at the driver, make eye contact. Remember the make eye contact thing? Look back at the driver, point straight ahead. You know what they do almost all the time? They wave to you and say, go ahead. So, you know, communication is a key thing here. Got to communicate. If you don't communicate, they will not understand what you're doing. You're just going to be in their way and they're going to get a bad attitude about it. And you're avoiding collision number 6, which, first of all, you know, we had number 5, the red light of death. Well, collision number 6, I just discussed, and it's called the right hook. That's when they turn into you and then you run into a problem there. And so you really have to be careful about that. You have to pay twice as much attention as the drivers of the cars and trucks. And I know I rant on drivers of cars and trucks a lot, but it's, you know, we're not paying attention. Our vehicles are designed with distraction in them. I do not know, and any of my legal friends out there who are looking to retire themselves in a big fashion and want to put a class action suit out against the automobile industry for putting a distracting device completely out of the sight of the traffic flow. Every new car that comes out right now has a video screen in it, right in the center, right where your radio was. Remember the radio story I told you? My dad got mad at me when I was 16 years old. I was learning how to drive a car. He got mad at me for looking over at the radio and adjusting the radio. Well, our radios have gone from knobs and buttons, which were pretty simple once you did figure out, you know, you had your presets on your radio and you had the buttons you could push. You kind of could feel over there and you could push your way through. Or a lot of cars and trucks are now designed with the radio buttons actually on the steering wheel. Good idea. That's not bad. You can kind of fish your way through that way. But now we have video screens and touch screens that are right in the center of the car. Who in their right mind was thinking about that? Who has done that? So every single car manufacturer has done that. They're all doing it. They have these giant video screens in there. And, you know, you want a video screen in your car? Put it on the back of your driver's seat or your passenger seat and let the kids watch the video. What a great idea. But that should not be something that is in your driving capabilities. You should not be able to do that. And yet all the cars are designed that way. So shout out to the automobile industry. If you want to challenge me on this, please, please contact me. I would love to have a discussion with you about this. I would love to know what people were thinking, engineers were thinking, car designers were thinking when they put this huge distraction screen in the center of the dashboard on the car. And it's not where you're looking. It's not where you're paying attention. So, you know, that's a good one. That should probably be avoided. So that's another tough little spot. Anyway, there's lots of other things in here. You got to be careful. You innocently move out to the left and go around a parked car or some obstruction in the road, and then you get nailed by a car coming up from behind. So how do you avoid that collision? Never, ever move left without looking behind you first. Yeah, you know, as hard as it may be for you, if you don't have a mirror on your bicycle or on your helmet, just turn and look. Just look over your shoulder and get an awareness as to what is coming up behind you. Put your hand out. If you see a car coming up on you and they're coming up pretty fast and you're moving out there, put your hand out there and then move out. Don't just swerve out and expect that car to be able to stop. That's really not a wise idea. So ride your bike responsibly. Ride your bike with total communication, and you're going to be fine. You can use a mirror. You can signal. You can do all those things. A car runs into you from behind, and this is what many cyclists fear the most, but it's actually not very common. It only comprises of about 3.8% of the collisions. However, it is one of the hardest collisions to avoid, since you're not usually looking behind you. Okay, the risk is a lot greater at night. Backing up, where's that flashing red light? By the way, certain states, I know the state of Connecticut, you're not riding at night with a light, you can get ticketed and fined for it. So be aware of that. If you're going to be out at night and you don't have lights on your bike, you're breaking the law. So let's not go there. Let's just not go there. Bike shops have these little red rear blinky lights. They work great. They run off of either AA batteries, or now many of them are USB recharge, so you can just recharge them and they'll last for a really long time. If you are riding at night, please wear something reflective so that people can see you. This is common sense. This is not a real, this isn't rocket science here. It's simply common sense. Just be smart about it. And, you know, and then another one, which this is one of my big ones, avoid the busy streets. You know, why would you ride in a busy street? Why, when there's an option that is quieter, running maybe through a neighborhood or running into the, you know, back into the countryside? Yeah, it might take you a little bit longer to go that way. It might not be as flat. There may be, you know, some critical hills there that you're going to have to work with, but you know, you're on a bike and you're fit, you can do this. Just go and take the alternative route so that you're safer. You want to my big thing is, the quieter the road is, the less exposure you have. The busier the road is, the more exposure you have. So the more exposure you have, the more chances you have of being hit. So you really want to try to eliminate, or at least reduce the exposure that you're dealing with. So, you know, these are all just basic tips. This is a great little site. It's got a lot of nifty little stuff on it. And it's bicyclesafe.com. You might want to check that out and see, you know, what it's all about, and take it from there. there's all sorts of interesting things if you go onto our lovely internet, and you can Google up, why do drivers hate cyclists? Okay, you know that's an unfortunate situation. Usually, I'm going to be pretty clear about this. Usually, drivers of cars and trucks hate cyclists because cyclists are doing something really stupid, and it's really easy to do things really stupid because, you know, you're on your bike, you're that independent-minded person, I'm going to get there and I'm invincible and I can do whatever I want to do. You have a, what should I call it, kind of a teenage type of attitude. Of, you know, nobody can hurt me, and you do stupid things. You weave in and out of traffic, you don't use turn signals, you dart back and forth in different situations, you know, you just do stupid things. And yeah, they're going to hate you. Why wouldn't they? If you were doing that in a car, people would be going crazy. They'd be calling the police on you. But, you know, you do it on a bicycle, and the problem is that you teach all of the drivers of cars and trucks that cyclists are bad people. That's not what we want to do here. We're trying to educate people here. We're trying to get people to love us, not hate us. So be more communicative. When you're riding your bike, you need to communicate with the cars and the trucks, and be nice to people. When you see people on the side of the road, say hi. You know why? Because they may be getting into a car and truck the next time they see you. And they may be riding by you in their car or truck, and they may look over and go, oh, look, that's that nice cyclist. It was really nice to me when I was out working in my yard. You know, this is communication. It's a very, very simple thing, and it's something that I will blame a place that I spend a lot of time on the internet. I'm going to blame this on the internet because we have so many things that keep us away from the being social with one another in this world that we live in right now. And so therefore, you know, we forget that we're all just people. That's all. We need to get along with one another. And the best way to do that is communication. It really works. So let's look at that as, you know, there's a good thing to pay attention to. I've seen so many, I've seen so many rages with drivers of cars and trucks and cyclists over the years. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. You have to understand, this isn't just like a new thing for me. I've been actually in the cycle business now for 42 years. So I've been out on my bike for longer than that. So, you know, over 50 years on my bicycle, and you know, you see it all, and you see people do some pretty stupid things. One of the more outstanding things that happened to me when I was out riding my bicycle one day, and I was behaving myself. I was very far to the right. But I was on one of those roads I shouldn't have been on. I was on a busy state road that had very little shoulder, and I was, I was commuting back home from visiting with my mom down in Ledyard and coming back up towards the Willimantic area, and I was coming up the road, and there was a car going by with a bunch of young, I'm going to say young teenage or maybe early 20s men in the inside of the car, and they thought it would be really humorous to throw a full can of beer at me. Very funny, you know, really funny. What if that thing hit me? So let's explore that just for a second. The can of beer, you know, if I get hit in the head with a can of beer or anywhere on my body with a can of beer, no big deal. But if the vehicle of which that came from was going 50 miles an hour, it's no longer a quick toss. It's a 50 mile an hour hit with the can. And that can be a big, big problem because that is now a serious projectile. So, you know, if you are in a motorized vehicle, please think twice about things like that. That just doesn't make any sense at all. You know, people make mention here, as a driver, cyclists scare me. They make me tense and wary because I know how easy it would be for me to hurt them. Well, good. You should know how easy it is to hurt them. That's a good thing. That means you're being responsible and you're being thoughtful. That's a good thing. The reactions, you know, of Americans, you know, especially in their car when they become afraid, is rage. And so it perpetuates. And now we have this problem with aggression on the road. And, you know, that's a real problem, and we need to try to avoid that in any way that we can. The, you know, there's just so many things you can do to stay safe on the road. You just need to pay attention. And remember those statistics I talked about earlier, how many people are injured or actually killed that are pedestrians and also are cyclists in a year's period of time versus how many people have been killed by the great fear that we have punched into us every day about this terrorist thing and how awful it is. And it's like, again, it's a splash in the ocean compared to what happens with cyclists and also with pedestrians out there on the road. So, you know, these are things that we just don't see it that way. We just don't, and we need to pay attention to that, because the real terror is getting out there and just trying to transport yourself in a very efficient and environmentally conscious way. Kind of simple, isn't it? But, you know, you do have to pay attention to that. So since in the state of Connecticut, since 1929, pedestrians have had the right-of-way in crosswalks. 1929. Back that up. Okay, that's a long time ago. If a pedestrian is at the curb or in a crosswalk, all vehicles must slow down or stop to allow him or her to reach either the opposite side of the street or a safety zone. If a pedestrian is not in the marked or unmarked crosswalk, then he must yield to all of the traffic. So crosswalks are incredibly important. You want to be in a crosswalk if you are crossing a street. That helps identify to the driver, or we should hope it helps identify to the driver that, you know, there could be the possibility of people crossing here. Although I think from a conversation that I've had with our local police department that most of the pedestrian and vehicle accidents that happen right here in stores at the UConn campus are out on the state road, Route 195, and they're crossing over to, you know, Store Center, the commercial district, from either UConn's campus or also from, you know, the local high school, which is across the street, or our local community center. And you know, you think about that, and it's, you know, it is a state highway, but people just look at it as it's a place where I can get from A to B, and I have to get there as fast as I can. And so they go through with mindless abandon, and then their phone rings, and they take their eyes off the road because they're, you know, they're attending to that, and they're being distracted by it, and there you have it. The same old thing. Same problem all the time. And you know, the statistics are showing that more and more drivers are actually ignoring crosswalk law. So we need some sort of an education process here. And I've been also ranting about this for a number of years now. If we were to get with our motorized vehicle registrations and also driver's license renewals, if we were to get a small slip of paper, which would cost taxpayers very little money, by the way, if you're from the state and you're listening to this and you go, hey, that guy's got kind of a good idea, doesn't cost much to put a small slip of paper in which explains the laws of crosswalk behavior, bicycle behavior, and pedestrian behavior with cars, just to update people. Because a lot of people don't know. They don't understand that there are these new laws, and they've never heard of it before. And when I have conversations with them about the about bicycle law, they most of the time thank me very much for educating them, because they have no idea. And, you know, here's a little observation study that came out of Chicago, Illinois, and the nearby suburbs. 61% of motorists did not stop for pedestrians at painted crosswalks. And they also, those crosswalks also had other safety features, including in-road stop for pedestrian signs, brick or stone crosswalks, raised crosswalks, or flashing beacons. And, you know, if you're going to take the responsibility of driving a loaded weapon down the road, please drive responsibly. And I hate to put it to that point of loaded weapon, but it really is with us. We are very unprotected. We are definitely vulnerable out there, and we are simply just people. That's all. That's all we are. Our local Bike Mansfield group here in Mansfield, a big shout out to them. I'm going to bring them back on the air here maybe within a week or two, because I'd kind of like to get an update about what's going on with them, because I know that they have some clinics coming up very soon, and hopefully I can get Lon on or David on and we can talk a little bit more about this. But there are going to be some good ones coming up. And I know that there's one, and I can't remember, I think it's in May, and it might be done actually through the community center or through the recreation department in town. But there's going to be an actual clinic and seminar that explains how to ride your bike in traffic, which is kind of what this whole show has been about today. And so I know that my friend David Wahlberger, who is a certified League of American Bicyclists instructor, is the one who I believe is involved in that. So it's a great way for you to learn a little bit more. You can contact Bike Mansfield at bikemansfield.org, or you can also find them on Facebook too. So please feel free to take a look there and see if you can get an update on information through them. They're a great organization. A lot of small towns now have these bicycle organizations that are helping identify difficult areas of travel, and you know, making things safer, basically, is what they're doing. So anyway, this is a good thing to come and check out. So please feel free to check in with my friends at Bike Mansfield. It's a great group. And again, I will hopefully get them on the air here soon so we can talk a little bit more about that and see what they've done and what direction they're going. And, you know, we'll take it from there. So, you know, support your local bicycle group, your local town group, your local state group. Here in the state of Connecticut, we have Bike Walk Connecticut. There are numbers of organizations like that across the United States. So no matter what state you're from, you can simply Google it and find you can find all of the bike walk organizations in and across the country. And they've really brought, you know, bike and walk together in a lot of states because it's a bike ped issue. It's a pedestrian bicycle situation. We are transporting ourselves and we are using our bodies as transportation, either by walking or being on a bicycle. So a lot of the laws that go along with this are, you know, good to learn about, and so these organizations have been created to help you out and get you to understand more about, you know, your legal rights, and also to help protect you and to help educate the local towns and municipalities as to what it is they need to do in order to make their towns safer. So these are definitely things that you want to explore. So look it up, see who is your local bike ped organization in your state. And you will find, look at this. There is actually a website that you can go to, which is pedbikeinfo.com. So that's, again, www.pedbikeinfo.com. And it's Pedestrian and Bicycle Information Center. And it has data and resources, community support, planning and designs, training and events, programs and campaigns. If you're part of a municipality and you want to start being more aware in your community, the local, you know, engineering office in town, whatever, and you want to learn more about this, there's a wealth of information here. And now that I've discovered this, I may have to explore it a little bit deeper here and see exactly, you know, how much more of this information that we can actually share here on Bicycle Talk. So this is definitely a great place. There's a whole section here on planning and design. And these are important things because it's showing you different things about how you can design your local community into a very safe place for bicycles to be. And, you know, bikes and people riding on bicycles in communities that are filled with small shops and with restaurants and eating and drinking establishments, we'll call it. People who ride bicycles are very friendly people, and they're very happy to spend their money with you. So if you are a business owner or you're a small restaurant or a cafe, you know, you need to learn to make friends with the people on the bicycles. We have a great little place, and I'm going to give them a shout out just because I think they deserve it. There's a wonderful little cafe up in Eastford, Connecticut. And it is on State Road Route 198, but there are a number of back roads, town roads that come into it too, right at that same intersection. And when they first opened up, Fran and I were out riding our bikes, and we're riding along, and we look over and go, hey, look, they're opening in this new cafe, check it out. So we walked in, and we chatted them up, and we got to be very friendly with them and talked to them all about how, you know, we were members of a large bicycle club and, you know, are you bike friendly? What establishes a bicycle friendly business? First of all, if they're a bicycle friendly business and they are a cafe or they are a coffee shop or something like that, they are very welcome and open to letting you use their bathroom. That's a simple one right there. Convenience stores. Again, same thing. I can't tell you how many convenience stores have said, no bathroom. They won't let you use it. they are put on the do not contribute to list, and we no longer stop at those any longer. So if you're wondering whether or not it affects your business, it does affect your business, because not only are we not going to stop there, but we are probably going to tell a number of our friends, you do not want to go to XYZ convenience store because XYZ convenience store is not bicycle friendly. So being a bicycle friendly business is a big deal. And I'll tell you another reason why it's a big deal. There's also small cafes in other areas. There's one up in Stafford Springs, very bicycle friendly. They're so bicycle friendly, as is the Coriander Cafe, which is in Eastford, Connecticut. I forgot to mention their name. They're so bicycle friendly that both of these have bike racks outside of their establishments. So, you know, they don't need to do that. They really don't, but they do. And they do because they get it, because they understand that when you stop in there with your bicycle and you have to use the bathroom. So you go and use the bathroom, you come back out, you're probably going to buy something while you're there. So they have a really good chance of getting a little bit of business from you, which is a good thing because we're all together in this at the same time. So very, very important that you support your local cafes when you're on your bike. If you are a bike person, you want to do that. And you want to make sure that you are very friendly with them. And bring your friends. Bring your friends. You know, we have a group that came down. I know a group that came down out of Southbridge, Massachusetts, about a month ago, and they went to the Main Street Cafe in Willimantic, and there were 17 of them. Just to give you an idea, bike people ride in big groups, and they all spend money. So be bike-friendly business. What a great idea. It's always a good thing. Anyway, this is... that's the way we're going to round this one out. We're just going to kind of bring it up to an end here. This has been a great talk with you guys today. Hopefully you've been educated a little bit more about the statistics of you know, how the things that we are sometimes fed that we should be fearing the most are really not as big a numbers as some of the things that we do every day. So please be careful out there. If you are a driver of a motorized vehicle, please be careful of that bicycle. There could be someone very important riding on it who could save your life someday. So think about it that way. Think about it as that could be a mother, that could be a father, that could be a grandfather, a grandmother, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister. Could be the person that works at the hospital who does emergency surgery on you and saves your life. So let's pay attention while we're out there and see if we can just make things a little safer for all of us. Anyway, my name is Pedalin' Ron. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk without my co-host, France Dorch, because she was away this week, but she will be back next week, so that's nice. And this is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you need to reach us in any way, I'm just going to, because it's the end of the show, I'm going to tell you can reach me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or please come visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook, because I am also there. And like us on Facebook. That's always a nice thing. You know you're out there, and that's a good thing. Anyway, this is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and keep the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut. Thank you for listening.